The Lord has made a solemn promise and will not take it back. You will be a priest forever. This difference, then, also makes Jesus the guarantee of a better covenant. The New English Bible says, "How far superior must be the covenant of which Jesus is the guarantor." I wonder if any of you have ever been a guarantor. It's a big responsibility. And if you're ever asked to be one, although it seems less likely nowadays, make sure you've read the small print. Jesus guarantees a better covenant. What price is a guarantee today? What would a guarantee mean to you if you lived in Northern Ireland or in Iraq or Syria, Israel or Palestine, China, perhaps Vietnam? Would it be a guarantee of peace or of a future? Would it be a guarantee of security or of medical care or of education or of food or clean water? How could such a guarantee be achieved or negotiated? Today, our world recognizes mediators or would-be mediators. There are lots in the world. For people on opposing sides, for whatever reason, who cannot make agreements or negotiate settlements or find guarantees of behavior or restraint for themselves, they need a third party to come and work between them. This is not a new situation, but it has developed to high levels of sophistication in our age. If you look into the Greek of the letter to the Hebrews, you'll find that in chapter 8, verse 6, Jesus is described in the priestly role as a mediator. In family terms, it appears that mediators are now needed because almost daily, in the rich countries, particularly of the Western world, marriages or domestic partnerships break up. Cohabitees. Yeah, I read that this morning and I thought, cohabitee, what a word. People who live together, people in partnerships, husbands and wives, can often find that they can no longer communicate with each other on a level that can produce sensible results for themselves, or more importantly, their children. So they need mediation. Statistics that are published regularly show that violence in the home is on a frightening scale in our time. And what does this say about relationships? I'm sure, too, we remember the important people like Henry Kissinger, Kofi Annan, Mo Mollem. And now we have Mr. Gutierrez, who is the United Nations Secretary General. These are the mediators that we might admire and respect because we know they work hard for peace and for world harmony. And in some cases, they have been successful. I'm not so sure about Putin or Pompeo and the man he works for. But what is it that they are called to do? They act as go-betweens for people who cannot talk to each other face to face and say what they feel or what they would want to happen in life or in the lives of others that are important to them or in the lives of others that they want to be important in. The people who need the go-between can speak to the third party. They can unburden themselves to that other person. They can express ideas and thoughts and fears and aspirations. They can say things which they accept that the opposition will not be able to tolerate. And the hope is that the skilled mediator will be able to establish communication on some level, find some common ground, some chink of hope for agreement, some sign that a new start might be made. We hope that mediators will work in our world with success, but too often we see breakdown of communications. So what can we compare the mediator's role? How would you feel about negotiating with hostage-holding terrorists or talking a potential suicide into climbing down from the brink of oblivion? What about being able to approach God on somebody else's behalf as well as our own? In the history of the development of religion, there has always been the basic fear that approaching God is risky because ordinary human beings are not fit or worthy or pure enough to face the Almighty. So there had to be a priest, somebody who was specially qualified or was brave enough to face that kind of unknown. It had to be a holy person. Yes, it was usually a man. It was somebody who was kept apart especially for that special job, kept clean in a ritually sanitized way, following extraordinary rules of conduct to be observed in his own life and in the ways in which others treated him and regarded him. That priest was the mediator between the people and God. The people could tell him what was in their minds. They could ask him to consult on their behalf. He could hear the demands and the hopes and the intolerable thoughts. He could be the go-between who might just find the chance for common cause, the new start, the way in which relationships might be helped along or re-established. A whole paraphernalia of holy ritual came to characterize the role of the priest and how he performed it, and also what he would make the people who came to consult him do in order to facilitate the task that he was undertaking on their behalf. And then Job's prayer was answered, and Jesus came along. Jesus changed everything. Jesus became the mediator who takes us right to God. If God were human, Job says, I could argue with him. There's no need for that. The incarnation makes God human and shows us what God wants from us in human life. The mystery of contact with God is removed by Jesus, who is himself God in human form. He has no need to go through the process of ritual cleansing and the offering of sacrifices, because he is without sin and he himself is the sacrifice for our sins. So the important fact for us today is that he shows us how we ought to be able to relate to one another and to communicate with one another through the love that brought him into our human lives. All we need to know, all we need to understand about life has been shown us in Jesus. When we come as we do now to reenact his memorial, then we see the essential simplicity of his message. Where human religion evolved all the complications of ritual associated with sacrifice and constructed elaborate laws of conduct and procedure for which specialized knowledge was required and a specialized human person was required to act in a ceremonial way, and all this was somehow to counteract the inevitable effects of human sin and wrongdoing, and it had to be reenacted again and again, Jesus calls us to sit at a table and share a meal. It's as simple as that. In that meal, we come to understand the humanity that we share. And we understand that Jesus once shared it with us. We remember the life that he lived, and we are given his word that his death removes forever any barrier between us and God. He shares his death with us. And by his rising from death, he shares with us the new kind of life which shows itself in the love that can overcome all the problems of the world. If only the world would turn to him. May we find our blessing as we come to the Lord's table.